Morning, people from China. We have a regular tradition here, is that being that I am an old man, that young men give away new things, old men give away old things. And what I have here is an album called The People's Album, Soul Survivor. This album features many of the musicians involved with the Soul Survivor festivals. Guest vocalists include Matt Redman, Martin Smith, Paul Oakley, Brian Dokerson, and Beth Vickers. The People's Collection. This is a, okay. It's a good album. Secondly, I was looking through the books I was going to give, and I saw this one, and the Lord told me who to give it to. Parables. The Mysteries of God's Kingdom Revealed Through the Stories Jesus Told by John MacArthur. And one of the quotes back here is, everything you thought you knew about the parables is reoriented in this new work by John MacArthur to explain their meaning and show their relevance in the lives of the believers. Parables is intriguing and stimulating as it pierces through a thick cloud of exegetical misunderstanding about the illustrative teaching of Jesus. John MacArthur stands as a watchman on the ramparts, pointing us back to the protective refuge of Christ. Inside the walls of truth, Luke. Yeah, Luke is one of the... I remember when I first met Luke, I sat in on Scott's triad, and Luke was a member of it. And I'd seen him, but I'd never really heard him. And he didn't say much anyway. But the Lord told me how smart he was. This guy's really smart. And I said, smarter than me? And he says, yeah. I said, oh, God, I'm threatened here. This guy's smarter than I am. And but you know, smarts isn't everything. Because you can look up and I was thinking of a story. It says, you see that cloud up there? You see it? What is it? Can you see it? And the guy next to you says, yeah, it's crystals of moisture that have been drawn up into the sky. And they form these, and he gives this long thing. And what did you think it was? And I look at it and say, I thought it was an elephant. It looks like an elephant to me. It's what you see. It's the things that you see and how you perceive them. And Friday night we showed a film, and the film was Footloose. And people have seen this movie. It was very popular in 1984, which reminds me, I saw it in 1984, and 1984 is the year I became a Christian. And I remember I saw the movie, and I really liked it. And you could ask people, what's the movie about? Oh, I saw that movie. It's about this town, and they don't allow dancing, and this guy comes in, and he sort of falls in love with the pastor's daughter, and she falls in love with him, and at the end they all get to dance. And you could see it that way. That is basically the story. But for the two of us, I guess Scott and I and Marcia were the people who saw it that are in the room right now, that we saw a little bit differently than that. We saw a community that its spiritual leader, its pastor, had been wounded deeply. Like 5 years ago, his only son had died. His son had been dancing at a party and came back with some people and some other kids, and they'd been drinking as well. And their car went off the bridge, and they all perished. So as a result of that, what they did is they passed some laws that there's no dancing. They want to protect their kids. They want to protect their people. No dancing, no rock and roll music that leads to dancing. You couldn't play that. There was a curfew they had for the kids they had to be in. And as this character from the outside enters in from Chicago, he's a whole different person. He's very hip, comes in from Chicago. He and his mother, his father had left when he was very young. But anyhow, he comes in and he loves to dance. And he encounters the pastor's daughter. Now the pastor's daughter, she tells her husband, her father, the pastor, that she says, Dad, you know, I believe in you. But I don't believe in what you believe in. And she told him, she says, when I was a girl, I used to sit there and listen to you practice practice your sermons and speak your sermons out. I just love to hear that. But as she had been entered into her teen years, probably a senior in high school, is that she had become so disillusioned that you could see in the film that she didn't fear death. She didn't fear anything. She just knew that she wasn't happy and content where she was. And no matter how many rules or regulations they put upon the kids to protect them, what they do is they were smothering them. They were smothering them with rules and regulations. And interesting, this young guy comes in and you see him and he doesn't do drugs. He's offered drugs. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't do other things. All he wants to do is he wants to dance. And through a series of events, he gains popularity and gains friendship. And he decides what we need to do is have an organized school prom dance at the end of the year. And so they have to go to the city council, and he doesn't know what to say. And his girlfriend, who's the pastor's daughter, she knows the Bible frontwards and backwards, and she gives him these scriptures about dancing. And the freedom of dance and how we dance. And he's quoting from Ecclesiastes, and he says, so, you know, there's a time to plant and a time to sow. There's a time to mourn, which this city had been doing for 5 years. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. And this is our time. Speaking out for the young people. This is our time. This is our time to be who we are. They voted down. However, there's a man that the young man has got a job with, and his warehouse is outside of the city limits. And he says, if you can get this, we'll let you have, you can use this because it's outside the city limits, because it was a city rule. And the pastor was, he says, in his frustration, and I understand that as being a pastor and being with Pastor Joseph, the frustration of trying to lead the people. He sees one scene where he's trying to let the people know that we have to do this, we have to do this, we have to do this. And then the people take it too far. They start burning books from the library. Oh, this is, we don't want our children to read this book. We don't want them to do that. Because if they read this, then they might get corrupted. He says, what are you doing? He says, we got to stop judging. We don't want to lose our compassion. So the boy comes to him and talks to him, and they talk about it. And the pastor who'd lost his son is talking to a young man who didn't have a father. And as they shared with each other, they found that there was a place for each other, with each other, that the father can find his son, this young man who's his daughter was obviously really attracted to. And this young man was looking for a voice that would hear what he had to say, just listening to him. And it seemed to work out because at the end, the kids get a chance to have their party and they get ready for their dance. And one of the funny things is the pastor, the young man's best friend, had never danced before. No experience in dancing. They want to go to dance. He said, I don't know how to dance. So you see, it takes a collage in the film as you've seen the young man who wants to dance, the Christ figure or the Christian figure. He's like a Christian. He's like a man coming to enlighten people to what it says in the Bible, that the Bible is more than rules. Because you talk to the outsiders, people, and I don't even know about the young people here, if any of them are Christians or how many there are. But they say, I don't want to be a Christian because it's all about rules. In reality, in Jesus Christ, it's all about freedom. We're free to do what we want to do. We are trustworthy. Because Christ is trustworthy. He trusts us. He gives us his grace. He gives us I just wrote this to somebody. But when you dance with Christ, you don't have to worry about stepping on his feet. You don't step on his feet. You can't step on his feet. And so pretty soon you don't worry about, well, I better move this way and I better move that way and this is my step. No, pretty soon you just feel free to be who you are, to celebrate who you are, to dance in who you are. And this is our time. This is our time. And so you see this one guy, he's practicing and practicing and practicing. And you see the little girl, there's a little girl, the cousins of the central character. And he's dancing with them, and they're showing him. And you see him pretty soon, he gets really good. And at the very end, he's part of the people dancing as they all dance. Each person dances individually. Each person looks a little bit different than the other person. Because it's in the Holy Spirit, you can be like other people, but at the same time, you're free to be who you are, to be individual. It's free to that. That's why we're encouraged to love each other. Not because, well, that person might be a little bit different than me. He does this, or he likes this kind of music. This person likes that kind of music. However, is Jesus the Lord of your life? If Jesus is the Lord of life, we're all the same. So I don't know if I was going to talk about this, but I brought it up, and at the very end, it's let's dance, and they were dancing and celebrating. And you see the pastor and his wife are outside, and they're watching. They're hearing the music come, and the pastor's sort of, well, I'm not quite sure. And this older man comes from behind him and said, Pastor, you've done a good thing here tonight. And it's like just the voice of God. You've done a good thing here tonight. You've encouraged people to be who they are. You've encouraged this. It's not by rules that we're going to be. It's not by rules we're going to protect our children. It's not by rules we're protected. We're protected because we believe in the rule keeper, Jesus Christ. We're free to dance. We're free to express who we are. We're free to be loved. We're free to love each other. And that's what I was going to do. I think last week, I encouraged everybody and I sent a letter out. And as I was praying this morning, I believe that the Lord wants us to bring into greater understanding of what Pastor Joseph and I have been called to explain over these past Sundays. Finding out who we are in Christ. Some of us might be in what has been described as an orphan spirit, a condition of not knowing who we truly are in relationship to our Heavenly Father. Others might be subject to a religious spirit. This would be a condition of needing to know, to understand in order to perform well enough to be a child of our Heavenly Father. Of course, most of us know we have been blessed with divine revelation of who we are. We're the divine prophets of Revelation 19. In Revelation 19, it says that we can prophesy because the spirit of prophecy is a revelation of Jesus. We can speak into each other's lives by what Jesus has done in our life. So this is firsthand. It's not something we read in a book and says, okay, I'm going to teach you this that somebody else did. No, we're talking about what God has done in our lives and what Jesus has done in our lives. Yet for those of us still searching with the understanding, the Lord wants to give us the answer through his sovereign work. The work of the Lord, that means that no man can boast. During the three-year renewal in San Francisco at Promised Land, 7 nights a week, people came from all over Northern California, maybe all over the world, I don't know. And it was to be touched by the Holy Spirit. And one of the themes was there, is that it was a sovereign work of God. We would say this is a sovereign work of God so that no man could boast. Find yourself saying it. When you say it, the people just shake and fall down like, or just be hit with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to walk to the pool and wash away our spiritual blindness. So if you choose to go to the pool, here is what he instructed me to tell you. So I probably could have spoken a little bit more about that, but it's the blind man. He'd been totally blind his whole life. And they want to know what he had done. How bad was this guy's sins? And the Lord says, no, he didn't do anything. This is just to show my glory. This man was blind his whole life just so Jesus could heal him. And he picks up some soil from the ground and spits on it, makes mud and puts it on the eyes and tells him to go wash it away. So he walks to the pool. He knows how to get there. He's been blind his whole life. He gets there, washes away, and he gets his sight back. So what I've it brings us to this point, and I shared this. I said I was led to Isaiah 50, verse 4. And I put it up here. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me in morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being. So I suggested to everyone, therefore, when you get up in the morning and you're led into the bathroom, look into the mirror and proclaim, Jesus is the Lord of my life. I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I am a new creation. Henceforth, I command the spirits of fear, doubt, worry, sickness, and all oppression to go. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For he who lives in me is greater than he who lives in the world. Today, on this day, will be a day of prophecy, encouraging, edifying, and supporting others. I will shout with joy because I believe Jesus is Lord. Then I added, don't worry about getting this word for word, for we're being transported from a legalistic spirit of science, engineering, and business into the liberal arts sector of being. Ooh, poor in flesh, in order to be rich in spirit. Poor in flesh means that we don't have the answer for it. You're going to see in that book I gave you, Luke, they talk about that. MacArthur almost uses the same words about as you look at the parables. Although all spirits on earth and heaven or in hell submit to the Lord Jesus, it's a metaphor to close your need of understanding before going and to open your heart in faith and go. So, this has not been easy. I've done this. This morning, it took me a while to get into the bathroom. Because I knew when I got into the bathroom, I was going to look and declare these words, and I really wasn't ready for it. So I petted around, I took my vitamin pills, I turned on the water. But when I finally came in the bathroom to look and declare these words over me, myself, I was ready for it. And I have to say, one day, Wednesday, I forgot to do it. I was so busy in the morning, I forgot to do it. And all of a sudden, I was at the pastor's prayer gathering. I said, oh, I forgot to do that. I'm walking by, and there's the windows. I see my reflection. So I stop, and I look at the window, look at my reflection, and start declaring who Jesus was in my life, declaring these words. For me, I have to say that every day that I've done this, something's happened really good. I've had opportunities. The Lord has provided opportunities. So I'm going to bring it to point now. Has anybody here done this? During the week?
I always dedicate my life, my daily life to God. Take care of everything that I believe.
Amen. So do you have a testimony of anything that's happened today, this week, or how you feel about yourself in doing that?
Oh, I feel very good. I'm on freak every day. Yeah. So no worries. Don't have to worry anything because God is in charge. So I just do what I have freedom to do what I want to do. But based on that, because God wants us to love others and love God. So what I'm doing, free to do, is to love others and love God. That's the main thing.
Thank you. And I can testify that on Wednesdays when I meet with Tim and Dan and Patrick is always very encouraging. And he always emphasizes on his job, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. If they want to fire me, that's fine. I don't care. I'm ready to go. And they always want to promote him. They always want to promote him. He says, no, I'm just happy doing what I'm doing, and I want to do that. And I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing. And they're glad to have him. So that's sort of kingdom living. Anybody else? Did anybody else do this? Anybody else try to do this? Did anybody read this? Just say, oh, it's from Robert. I'm going to delete it. I got other things on my mind. I'm not ready. But let me tell you, I thought about this morning. I know a woman who was passionate for God. Passionate for God. If you want somebody to pray for somebody else, you call her. She gets the best prayers. I mean, she's prayed for people. She prayed for me when I had cancer and it was gone. And she came and told me when I had the malignant melanoma. I prayed for 3 days. The Lord, this is where I got up. I wasn't even a Christian. I prayed for 3 days for you, and the Lord says, you're healed. And went up there. They operated, took all the lymph nodes out, and there was no cancer. She's that kind of person. However, she was in a period of stress in her life. She's trying to move. She's trying to move from Southern California to Idaho. She's trying to move, and she can't get the paperwork right from my mother's living trust so that she can get it done. And I'm talking to her on the telephone, and she's almost in tears. And she says, oh, everything is bad. I can't count on anything. And I said, well, you can count on God, can't you? You know what she said? I don't want to talk about that, S-H-I-T, and hung up. Just like that. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about God. I don't want to talk about Jesus. I got problems in my life. My things aren't good. My life is not going good. What am I going to do? I can't do what I want to do. We can all identify in that. But what we can do, because a brother of mine brought me an alternative view of the pool, a man at the pool. There's the guy by the pool of Bethesda. He's been laying there for how many years? 30 years he's been laying there. And Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do? The guy says, I can't do this. I can't get into the pool. Everybody's getting in front of me and everything else. And it's just that my life is so bad. And it was described to me, as we talked about, is that he was victimized to his lost motivation. He had no motivation because he was a victim of his circumstances. I can't, nobody's going to help me. I can't do anything. What am I going to do? And Jesus heals him, just like that. But Jesus tells him, be careful. Worse things can happen to you. What do you have to be careful about? What was his sin? Don't sin anymore. What was his sin? Self-pity, which is demonic. As Christians, if you're feeling sorry for yourself and can't do this, I can't do that, nobody loves me, I this and that, that sounds like Satan as he's going into the pit. We have every reason to rejoice. We have every reason to celebrate. Hallelujah. Well, songs today, the same thing. That's why we have to prophesy. The gift of prophecy is being able to speak encouragement in each other's lives. But we got to do something about it. We have to be able to look at ourselves in the mirror or declare to ourselves who Jesus is in our life and who we are. I can't do that. I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to talk about that now. I mean, how are we going to pay our bills? I talked to somebody and he has bill problems. And I was talking to him. All of a sudden, in my conversation with him, I found out that if he liquidated everything that he had, I got some rental property down south and this and that. I get a little bit of that, but I still can't keep up. Well, how much would you have if you... Well, I'd probably have about, maybe $600,000. But I can't pay my bills. I'm living here. Well, if you sold everything, this guy's my age. He's in his 70s. With $500,000, he's got a trailer like me. He could hop in his trailer. I think he could live pretty good. And he's still getting his Social Security. But in talking to him, his condition is so bad. It's so bad. He needed me to pray for him and to prophesy about him, talking about it in his life. We have to start looking at the glass half full. We are so gifted. We are so blessed that Jesus Christ died for us. Each one of these young people that came to the United States from China, my God, the odds of this happening, you are so blessed to be here. On this Sunday, you're so blessed to be in this whole day. Your lives are going to be changed. You're going to be different people. This is a gift, a total gift, a blessing. And you can say, well, I wonder how this happened. I don't know. Are any of you Christians? One? One's a Christian. Okay. God led you here, and he brought your friends with you. And the thing is, when you go back to China, you're going to be so much freer. You'll learn some new dance steps. Be able to dance really cool. You'll be footloose when you go back. So, Marcia and I are going to... Go ahead, Marcia.
When I think about prophecy and the purpose of it is to speak positive over your life or over the lives of others, to speak good into their life, into your life, into the world. To me, this goes back, all the way back to Genesis, when the serpent says to Eve, then you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The trick in that is she already knew good. Everything in the world at that point was good. Everything that was created, God, it says God saw it, and it was good. What they didn't know was evil. What he does there is introduce evil into the world. He tricks her into allowing evil into the world. And she sins. She falls. That's evil. But before that, it was all good. So our purpose is to grab onto that good. Not to be naive about evil. It's there. But to grab on to the good, hold on to it, prophesy it into your life, into the lives of others. The more you grab on to the good, the more light pours into your life and the world around you and the world in general. That is an anointing. That is a power that we have as Christians that non-Christians don't recognize, don't realize. So they fall under this ton of bricks that falls on them like, what am I going to do? But we don't have to do that. We can stand up and declare the good. So that's what we're doing here. That's what we're talking about. That's in that phrase that Robert read, which we can make a copy and give it out. It's on the email as well. That you can speak into your life, and it works. It will take effect. It will grab hold, particularly if you're a Christian, because God's just waiting to hear you say that. He's just like the light's right there. He's just waiting to pour it into your life.
Amen. I just recently heard a saying. A plan, if you have a plan and you don't have the steps on how to execute that plan, it ends up being a pipe dream. A pipe dream for our visitors from China was that people used to smoke opium in a pipe, and they would just have these dreams, but they wouldn't do anything. So if we have a plan and we don't have a practice on how to exercise this plan, then it ends up being a pipe dream. The plan I have, and the plan the Lord told, the Lord shared this with me. I think I wrote that. I mean, I was led to Isaiah 40, but who led me? The Lord leads me. He talks to me all the time. And why would he talk to me? I haven't written any books. I haven't done anything. I don't know why. He just chooses to do that. He chooses to lead me. He says, well, Robert, you've watched 10,000 movies in your life. Let's use them. That was one of my majors at Cal, religious studies and spiritual themes in motion pictures. They made me limited to Westerns, but it was on all of them. Last Saturday, in our prayer time, there's a woman here. I'm not going to mention her name to embarrass her, but she's very prophetic. And one of the words that she shared was that, I just feel like there's a new birth coming. I want to give birth. There's a new birth. She said, I don't want to have a baby, but there's a new birth coming. A new birth coming. Well, it must be because we got a bunch of people here. We can't declare who we are. We can't say, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Maybe you don't believe it. There's a guy I meet with every Wednesday. I love him. He has all kinds of problems. But he can't say Jesus is the Lord of his life. And I said, what? He doesn't feel good enough. I'm not good enough to make Jesus Lord of my life. Where is that coming from? That's religion. We have to be able to speak and tell. The reason Jesus is the Lord of our life is because we can't do anything on our own. So we have our choices. We can either go to the pool at Shalom and wash the mud off. Where I wrote in there being sort of sarcastic is that, well, the guy said, well, Jesus told me to wash my eyes. I don't want to go there. I just have somebody read a book on self-help. read a book to me on self-help and tell me how to help myself. Or I can just lay on the side of the pool and complain about my life. Things aren't going the way that I wanted them to go. Well, just liquidate everything you have, maybe, I don't know, and move. But the thing is, God has encouraged us. The second word that we got Saturday morning is that we talk too much. We're not listening enough. I'm talking too much. I'm not listening. I'm not listening to other people. I think we're not listening to the Lord. Because the Lord is speaking to us, trying to tell us how much He loves us. He's not. The word that Irene brought this morning was that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. He just says, I love you. I love you. I love you. Celebrate. Prophesy that. I could sit there and tell the experiences. The first day I did the looking in the mirror, I went out for this guy to have breakfast. He bought my breakfast. We went to a nice restaurant, and he bought my breakfast. Oh, thank you. As we walked out the door, there was a guy sitting in there, and he was asking for spare change or something. And I looked at him, and he looked familiar to me. And I turned around, and I said, are you related to Tom Dixon? This guy's got all kinds of kids and grandkids. He's a man of God. And he says, no. We started talking to him, and he told me that he was going to church. And he went to this black church. I used to go to church all the time, but they didn't like me there. I didn't agree with them. So now they're homeless. Me and my girlfriend, we go to this African-American church down there. He called it a black church down the street. So can we pray for you? He said, yes. So we prayed for him. All of a sudden, this woman comes running up. I guess it was his girlfriend. She says, I saw you praying for him. How cool this is. We talked and talked and talked. And I finally said, well, how much money do you need? He said, well, I got to buy some bread. I got some ham. I need maybe $2 or $3. And I said, okay. And I looked at my wallet, and there was a $10 bill staring me in the face. Oh, no, here I am. But I had a dream once that the people were going to give me $10 bills, like tenfold blessings. So I've been giving them out once in a while. So I said, well, this guy just bought my breakfast, which is like more than $10. And I gave him the 10 bucks. And he was blessed. We talked to him. They asked where my church was. I told them this is here. If they have no car, they were living over behind the library. That was one thing. The second day was I met a pastor from Alameda. We were over on 4th Street. He just got back from Guatemala. He did some ministry there. He was telling me how influenced he was by Guatemala. Then we come walking down the street, and there's this Hispanic guy with tears in his eyes begging for money. So we start talking to him, and we find out this guy's Guatemala. He's from Guatemala. So the other guy's got his phone out showing him all the pictures. And then the guy said he was in seminary in Guatemala for 5 years. Or some kind of Christian college in Guatemala. So they talk. We end up giving him $9. I gave him 50 cents. The other guy, I started giving him more, but the Lord said no. So I gave him the 50 cents, and then my friend David had $9 and gave all the money to him. But in listening to him, because David's going through a tough time with his church, listening to this guy from Guatemala, he was speaking life into David. He was prophesying into David's life. David kept saying, I wish I had more to give you. Then afterwards, I said, David, he says, you got more from this guy than you gave him. When we first saw him, he was there with tears in his eyes. At the end of his mind, okay, see you later. Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow. I need a place to stay, though. But he couldn't sleep. And he's got a small house with two young kids. And it's okay, but we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you and that kind of thing. Life goes on. But it was one of those situations where as you declare who you are, you have an opportunity to prophesy in other people's lives. Because the word of God is like a two-edged what? Sword, two-edged sword. It cuts away all of the debris from yourself as you're speaking words of life into the brothers and sisters. We were going to break into two groups and have the women prophesy over the women and the men prophesy over the men. But here's something. Oh, I don't know if I dare do this. I was going to have all the young people stand up. All of our visitors. Stand up, young people. Now, one of you Christians, the other people don't know. In Christianity, we believe we can speak words and they come, that they're real words. We can speak into your lives. And we are prepared today is to speak good things into your lives. So if you feel led, one sentence or whatever, speak in their lives, do it in Mandarin or English.
thank you for trying and stepping out and coming to the English worship, even though Chinese is your primary language. For me, English is my primary language, and my Chinese actually isn't very good. So I sort of understand where you guys are coming from. So I thank you for that, and God bless you. And your.
Thank you.
Maybe 我讲中文可能更那个。 真的是主耶稣，我真的是很感动，因为很多年以前我就像你们一样，从来没有听过福音。主，我觉得他们是很有福气的一些人，因为你们来到美国，来到这个教会不是偶然的，因为这是神给你一个机会。我以前也是成长在中国，从来没有听过福音。 可是神就是借着一个美国的外教让我听到福音，神给了我很多祝福，我的生命完全改变了，所以我真的是希望你们能够抓住这个机会，好好的了解主耶稣，了解这个福音，因为这个是你们最大的祝福，来美国。 拿到一个学位不是你最大的祝福，赚很多钱也不是你最大的祝福。你如果认识了主耶稣，接受主耶稣，这是你人生最大的祝福。我真的是，因为我也是跟你们一样，以前是一个国际学生，所以我真的是求神来开你们的灵，开你们的眼，求你们能够。 求神来帮助你们能够认识主耶稣，让主耶稣成为你们生命的救主，成为你们一生的祝福，愿神祝福你们。谢谢。
Sorry, I just got.
No, that's, no, no, that's a gift. Tears are the gift of is a gift from the Lord. Gift of gladness. Any other words of encouragement? Francis is very prophetic.
Well, actually, speaking to you reminds me of my niece. Well, she's young. Well, she is in college already. You guys just remind me of the new generation of China, very well educated. You know, very international, and I just think I'm sure, you know, your world is very different from what we've been through. You have different challenges in your life. And it's not always easy to choose God. And I must say, well, by the way, I speak Chinese, I speak Cantonese, I don't speak Mandarin. That's why I have to speak in English with you. Not because I'm pretentious, I just want you guys to know. It's just because I don't speak Mandarin very well. I just sense that there are new challenges in your life, and I pray that God will show you the way. It's not easy. I'm sure it's not easy to be Christian in China. I think there is no more. I'm sure there is pressure from the government, but I think the pressure from the world is more real. You know, to be rich, to be successful, is very real, and. I pray that God will speak to you in your life and that you find the truth in your life.
Thank you. The Lord's going to give you questions to ask. So don't hold back on the questions. Ask the questions. Don't worry about how you look. Ask the questions. You get the answer.
Thank you. So I feel when you guys introduce yourself. Thank you. But would you understand English? I think most of you understand English, right? Huh? No? So, I just think, I cannot speak Mandarin very well, I'm sorry. Because, you know, as you guys were introduced yourself, I have a feeling especially very strong from Elma, that you are very self-disciplined and very intelligent. And I think this is a great chance that you're here because sometimes you need to free yourself a little bit. And in God, you can see God will reopen your eyes. Besides self-discipline, there is many more. And I'm very happy that you guys have this chance to come to America and to see different people and experience different things. It's really a blessing. So I just wanted to pray that you will learn more than just you will learn more than just knowledge, and you will experience more than just simple basic life's needs, but you will know how to build up relationships, how to support each other, gain more friendship. Hopefully our friendship can be last long. Okay.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's about time, so the blessing and the final words of the fabulous Ian McCormick. Let's dance! Hallelujah.
Let's try it again this week. Speak to yourself in the mirror. Speak words of blessing. Speak good into your life. And the lives of others. And we'll get back to you.
Thank you. God bless. Anybody wants prayer? We're going to be in the Joshua house. Pretty understanding prayer. Any questions? Thank you. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and don't forget to go to Joshua's house after lunch and help out. Thank you.
God bless.
Have a nice week.